Huzzah! The big third celebration of our Christian calendar is here. I see some confused faces out there. Third big celebration? I thought there were two biggies, Christmas and Easter. Everything else just kind of slots in between. Well, it's time to understand why that thinking is off base. You see, as Christians, we take on different roles based on different aspects of our interactions with Jesus. It might be easier if we take the analogy of an event I went to yesterday to make a connection. Yesterday, my incredible wife treated me to an experience at the Volvo Ocean Races import stop in Newport, Rhode Island. For those not familiar with the event, it consists of 7 Volvo Ocean 65 racing yachts. These specially designed sailing vessels left Alicante, Spain on October 22nd, 2017. They are engaged in a race literally around the world, some 45,000 miles at sea, making stops in Lisbon, in Cape Town, Melbourne, Hong Kong, Auckland, Itajai, Newport, Cardiff, Gothenburg, and it ends at The Hague in late June 2018. The sailors endure some of the harshest sailing conditions possible, and even after racing legs of thousands of kilometers, the finish can be as tight as minutes apart at the finish. At each port, the yachts also conduct an in-port race. This gives them a somewhat more controlled environment, but more importantly, give fans the chance to see these incredibly talented crews in action up close. Yesterday's racing was impressive, especially given the rainy weather that we had. So how does this all connect? Well, the big three Christian celebrations have some similarities to the roles that we saw in play yesterday. Christmas, well, that would be the fans on the shore watching the race. Each person watching in amazement and celebration at the exciting things happening in front of them. Lots of anticipation of the event as it started, quickening of heartbeats as the events unfolded, and joy and elation when everything was done. If Christmas symbolizes the fans on the shore, Easter would be the VIP spectators and race marshals on the water itself, watching the race up close and personal, pointing out good and bad, right and wrong, being part of the action without being the action. And then there's Pentecost, where it would be the sailing crews themselves, everyone involved in the action, everyone surrounded by winds shifting and changing directions and making adjustments to accomplish the objective, everyone committed to working hard individually, but doing so in sync with a team, all looking for the same result. The Lit Liturgy podcast phrased it perfectly when they said, "Christmas is stupid without Easter. Easter is pointless without Pentecost." All three directly connect to God's plan for us. The arrival of a Savior, the resurrection of a Savior, and us serving in the name of a Savior. But there's also a big difference in Pentecost that I think explains why we don't always think of it as having the same importance as the other two. You see, with Christmas and Easter, we play a passive role. We wait, we watch, we celebrate. Neither one directly calls us to act, just to observe and receive. But Pentecost is very different. It demands action from us. And quite honestly, it tends to make us uncomfortable. We get scared because the action we're asked to undertake, well, might as well be trying to safely sail a 65-foot yacht around Cape Horn in the Southern Ocean. We are asked to publicly declare our faith and to serve Christ's kingdom wherever we go. This discomfort is actually part of why Pentecost is so important. Think about this. The celebration of Pentecost was not Holy Spirit Day. It was a festival that took place 50 days after Passover. The festival celebrated both the giving of the law from God to Moses at Mount Sinai, as well as the end of the spring harvest. So people were already assembled for those purposes. Now picture the most amazing special effects display in movie history. The disciples are sitting inside a building, maybe not unlike this building we sit in here, talking amongst themselves. Suddenly, winds start swirling around them, and the building around them simply vanishes. Flames swirl around them, and they start to talk to the people who are all around where the building once was. But this isn't just small talk. They walk up to someone like you or I, and we hear them plain as day in our native language. Yet someone like Emmanuel Macron standing right next to us hears the exact same words in his native French. Angela Merkel hears German. Argentinian President Mauricio Macri hears the same words in Spanish. Clearly, something is going on here that is trying to get our attention. But maybe more importantly, clearly the message is being delivered that it's meant for all of us, not just one church, not just one denomination, not just one city or county or state or nation. All are invited into the conversation by hearing their own native tongue. And the words themselves aren't just random. They are fully inspired by the appearance of the Holy Spirit. But the thing about the Holy Spirit is that too often we have a hard time understanding what it is trying to tell us, even when we understand the words themselves quite clearly. The crowd in Acts 2 asks, "What does this mean?" We do that too, don't we? When we sense that the Spirit is surrounding us and asking something of us we are uncomfortable with, we still question what the Spirit wants out of us. So know that we aren't alone in our questioning. It's happened from the very beginning. So what happened next? The answer actually comes a little later in Acts 2 beyond our reading this morning. Peter instructs the crowd to change their hearts and minds, to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. And after doing so, the crowds devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So these people who gathered for one purpose, to celebrate a festival, shift and adapt to the presence of the Holy Spirit and change what they're doing. They had to have been uncomfortable with the changes, but they showed the flexibility they were called to show. They were on board, everyone on board the boat, cranking on the winches and pulling on the lines to adjust their sails to match the winds the Holy Spirit was stirring up. So what about us? Are we on board and fully committed, all of us, to working hard toward a team effort? Or are we relegating ourselves to being spectators on the shore, comfortably enjoying the view and cheering on others in hopes they will take care of winning the race themselves? Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us where the wind ends. Those sailors on the boats yesterday, they weren't sitting there figuring out that the wind started here and stopped here. It just carried in a direction. The Holy Spirit doesn't use flames all the time to light up a finish line, like giant neon arrows pointing to where we are supposed to end up. Instead, the Spirit whips around us and blows us in a direction of its own choosing. Are we prepared to put up our sails and let the Spirit carry us where God wants us to go? Danielle Schroyer in the Hardest Question blog shares that without Pentecost, we'd just be people who tell Jesus' story. With Pentecost, we're people who live into Jesus' story. I shared the thought with someone earlier this week that what we experience is a lifestyle, not a survive style. We're not created by God to sit on the sidelines and watch others do the work. We were created to devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings. We were taught by Jesus to put our focus on loving one another, on devoting our lives to the service of God's kingdom. That means we were created to raise our sails and to clearly speak out in a voice all around us will understand that we are followers of the light wherever the Spirit blows our ship. So it's time to suit up, folks. Put on our jumpers and raise our sails. Call out in the loudest shantyman voice we can muster that we are not fans or marshals, but we are Christ's crew. We're setting course to find the lost sheep all around us that need grace and hope and peace in their lives. And we are then gathering them in and taking them with the wind of the Holy Spirit, wherever that wind may carry us all. Heave away, crew. It's time to sail. Amen.